As we've been worshiping this morning, there's a theme that I think ran through all of the songs, and that was the idea of putting our trust completely and totally in Him. And the question this morning is, what kind of trust are we talking about? There are some mornings that I will go to McDonald's for breakfast. I see I've got a few other people here that do the same. And sometimes I get a late start on the day and I wind up getting there just after 10:30. And I don't know if everyone realizes, but at 10:30, they stop serving breakfast. And so I sort of have a trust that there'll be something left over that they haven't distributed yet, and I'll be able to get breakfast. And I guess that's one kind of trust. But I don't believe that's the kind of trust that God is asking from us. God is asking for a trust that is connected to the idea of a covenant. See, God looks for men and women to make a decision for Him out of an understanding that it's a covenant relationship that we have with Him. It's not a conviction of convenience. But it is a conviction of total commitment. Very often we come to Him because of what He promises us, going through a difficult time. We feel helpless and hopeless. And He's there for those moments. He's there for that situation. But what we need to really fully embrace and grasp, amen, you can have a seat for a moment. What we need to fully grasp is the idea that just as we have an expectation from Him, that He has an expectation from us as well. You see, it's a covenant relationship. Being a Christian is about a covenant relationship. It's really like marriage. It's not about convenience, but it's about going through the hard times, going through the good times, the ups and downs in life. We're committed. We're sold out. We trust Him. And He trusts us to trust Him. And the key to walking with God is to follow the example that Jesus gave us. Jesus says that I only do what the Father shows me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And He was talking about His life on earth, His ministry on earth. And then Jesus says something to us. And I'm paraphrasing, but He says, if you love me, then you will follow my commandments. You will obey me. And this morning, we're going to be moving into a time of obedience. Because really, that's what baptism is about. And I've asked Tom Massey, who teaches the baptism class, to just highlight a couple of points in terms of baptism. So I ask that you would just pay close attention as he shares from his heart and from the Word.
In Romans 6:3, it says, we who've been baptized are baptized into Jesus Christ. We who are baptized have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And as I was looking at that scripture, I was thinking, you know, there's a scripture in John 10 that says, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door for the sheep. And anybody who tries to come in any other way is a thief and a robber. So we have to enter by the door. But this particular scripture then in Romans 6 says we are baptized into the Lord Jesus. So this is one of the reasons why we would want to be baptized, because we want to be in Jesus Christ. So from that scripture, I take that we get into Jesus Christ, in a sense, by being baptized. And so when we're in Christ, there's a heritage that we have. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have a rich and glorious inheritance. So if you want that rich and glorious inheritance, it would seem to me you should be baptized in water. And it's one of the big reasons, I think, to be baptized, to be part of that body, to go through that door, which is Jesus. And this is really part of your salvation experience. You know, we give our lives, like we were singing just now, we give our all to Jesus. And we make a commitment to walk with him, and he comes into our lives. But one of the other points that I was looking at is that, you know, whatever we do, we need to do in faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so faith, when we receive Christ, it's faith. We do it by faith. But without some action, without works, faith is dead. In my version, it says faith is useless. So I look at baptism as the action or the works, the outward expression of what we've done with our hearts. So what happens when we take the action related to faith, it takes it from the spiritual realm and causes it to manifest in the natural. It reminds me when Jesus would pray over a paralytic or something, he would tell him, get up and walk, you know. And so if there was no faith there, the guy wouldn't get up and walk. He'd say, don't you know I'm paralyzed? I need time to get up and walk. But it was the faith combined with the action, the faith and works, is what brings the power of God into reality, into the natural realm that we live in. So water baptism then would be the action or the faith, the action related to the faith that we have made a decision in our hearts to follow Jesus. And we've also, part of that decision is that we've decided to die to our own way. And this is the other thing, and probably the most important part of water baptism, is that when we go into the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ. We're identifying or unifying ourselves with his death and burial. And for us, the power is the power to put the old nature, our old nature, to death in the waters of baptism. So baptism is not just a ritual. It's not just a thing that we do by faith and then we don't act upon it. Baptism is the action related to our salvation. And we see, you know, when Peter gave his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, he says, you know, to the people, they were asking, what should we do? Brethren, what should we do? And after he pointed out what they had just done to Jesus, he said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's all tied together. It's all part of salvation. It's all part of being built into that holy temple of God that we are all part of. So this is the place where we enter and become part of that holy temple. And so baptism then is the power to put the old man to death, and also we then identify with his resurrection from the dead. So in a way, in a spiritual sense, we are resurrected from the dead when we come back up out of the water, even though our body hasn't yet been resurrected, although the day is coming soon. The day is coming very soon when he's coming back for us, and we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and mortality will take on immortality. Our bodies will become immortal. But right now, in the waters of baptism, we are raised from the dead with Jesus Christ. We identify with his resurrection, and I believe that is really our resurrection. That's why the scripture says we've already been judged. There's no more judgment for us. We've already been judged because we've been put to death. Our old man's been put to death. And we've been raised to the newness of life in Jesus Christ in water baptism. Amen.
I'll take that. Hallelujah. Amen. Go down in the water and we are dying to ourselves. But resurrection is when we come up. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I know there are a group of people here that want to be baptized. We don't normally do baptisms at the 8 o'clock service, but Pastor Rob Carl and I talked and said, hey, why not? Why don't we do baptisms at the 8 o'clock? And so we had, three people get baptized at the 8 o'clock service, and now we want to give an opportunity to those that want to be baptized this morning. And so if you are ready to be baptized, I encourage you to come up into this area over here. There'll be some people to receive you. Children's church coming up to get a closer view of what's going on. And I'm going to share with you a scripture from Acts chapter 8. Because I know there may be someone here who has not come forward to be baptized, and yet there's something stirring inside of you saying, I want to be baptized. You may have been baptized as a child, as an infant. But the scriptures support a baptism where a decision is being made. And as an infant, you didn't have the ability to make a decision. And I'm reading from Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, and this is the account of Philip with the Ethiopian treasurer or eunuch. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south road, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he arose and went. See, he obeyed. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And here was a very prominent leader. and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. And so Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and heard him say, do you understand? Or he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearers. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came near to some water. And here we go. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? You see, Philip preached Jesus, but he must have also preached baptism. Because the eunuch says, hey, here's some water. What hinders me? So my question for you today is there anyone here, what's hindering you from being baptized? You might say, well, I didn't come prepared. Neither did the eunuch. Although I wouldn't want to be compared to a eunuch. But neither did the Ethiopian treasurer. You might say, well, I didn't bring a towel. We have towels. You say, it's too cold. This is one of the warmest days we're going to have, you know, we've had so far. See, I'm taking every excuse you have away. And so I just want to encourage you, as the Spirit of the Lord begins to prompt you in your heart, I want you to come forward and be baptized this day. And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, this is what the Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone that's going to be baptized, I'm going to ask you a question before you actually are baptized. And I'm going to ask you why you want to be baptized this morning. And so I don't want you to panic, but whatever comes to your mind, that's what I want you to share. Because everyone here is with you on this. You're not doing it for them, but they are participating with you. Amen? And so as we enter into a time of worship, you're going to be able to see what's going on. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around, face me. No, face me. I want you to put your arms across your chest. All right, that's so you don't try to reach out and grab anything. You're in good hands. Brian Bobby is a strong guy. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to pray for you. Then I'm going to just gently push you back, and you just relax and fall back. You can hold your nose if you like, all right? And the question I have for you is, why have you chosen to be baptized this morning?
I believe in God, and I don't want to go to hell.
That is a good reason. That is an excellent reason.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you for this young man. But we thank you for, you're Charlie, right? You thank your name, Charlie. Lord, we just ask you to just meet him in the water, Lord. Meet him in the water, Lord. So we just release and we just baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All the way down, completely. There you go. Hallelujah. Right now, we just release your anointing. Right now, Lord,
my heart is yours. My heart is yours.
We just
take
pray, God. We
thank
you.
Take
we
it
just
all.
Release your anointing upon
my life
your
in
anointing.
Your hands.
Just the fullness of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You go right there. Amen. What we're going to do now is we're going to have some people out here, Pastor Bob and maybe others, pray for each person, because we believe that you might as well get everything. We're going to baptize in water. We're going to baptize in the Holy Spirit and just get the complete package this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hi. All right. I want you to just cross your arms. You can hold your nose if you like. All right. And I'm going to ask you, why have you chosen to be baptized this morning?
Because I believe in God and I want to go to heaven.
Amen. We've got one person who doesn't want to go to hell and another person who wants to go to heaven. Amen. All good reasons. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just come in your name. You are the baptizer, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would just meet her in the water, Lord. Let the old fall away as she goes down. And let newness of life in every way come up. Lord, the power of the resurrection be released this morning. And so we just baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, right now. Yes, Jesus. Jesus, come on up. Yeah, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, right now, just release. Oh, just your fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I think we could use another man down here. You got all this. Yeah, come on down, Yusuf.
Take it all. Take it all.
It's a little easier with two guys. Yes. Are you ready? Amen, amen. Again, I just ask you to cross your arms, right? And you can hold your nose if you like. I remember when I was baptized, I just wanted to stay down forever. It seemed so short. But we're not going to let you stay down forever. Amen? Hallelujah. And why have you chosen to be baptized this morning?
Because I want to get rid of my old life. It just is really sinful and it was really bad. But now, in my new life, my old life dies and Jesus was baptized. So it seems like I need to have a new life and I need to start fresh.
Father God, right now we just you've heard the heart's cry, Lord. Newness of life. And Lord, let this day be that season of newness. Lord, as he goes into the water, let the old remain, Lord, and let him come up a new creation. Even as your word says, those that are in Christ are new creations. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. And so, Father, we just thank you. Jesus, right now, just minister to him. And we baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, we baptize. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Lord Jesus, right now, we just release just a fresh new, just a new flow, Lord God. Just a new flow.
Take it all, my life in your hands.
Oh, yes.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hi. What's your name? Julianne. Okay. Julianne. And why have you chosen to be baptized today, Julianne?
Because I want to walk with God.
All right, Julianne, I'm going to ask you to just cross your arms, okay? And we're going to pray. And just turn this a little bit right there, okay? Lord Jesus, right now, we just ask for your your blessings, Lord, and your anointing, Lord, to be able to walk with you in everything that you ask her to do. Lord, your purpose for her life is astounding, Lord. Your plans for her life are just remarkable. And Lord, help her to see the plans and the path that you have chosen. And Lord, give her strength to make all the right decisions. And so, Lord, we just release now just a fresh anointing upon her. Lord, we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Right now, here we go. Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Right now, we just release your anointing, Father. Just touch her. Fill her. Just strengthen her. In Jesus' name.
My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all, my life in your hands.
We read in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian said, "What hinders me from being baptized right now?" So I just want to give one last call, one last opportunity. Is there anyone here that desires to be baptized? God is speaking to you. Your heart is quaking. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let the devil hold you back. Don't let circumstances hold you back. Anyone here? Anyone here saying, "Yeah, I want to be baptized this morning"? Amen. Jesus. Pool, there's going to be an opportunity to be baptized. Amen. So we're not going to empty the pool until after services. So if God speaks to you, please come forward and let us know. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you all stand with me now? We have a special that we want to present.
He set me free. He
Are very true. He says you are his own. I have two children. I have a son and a daughter. It's hard to call. When they get to a certain age, you know, I mean, they're not my children anymore. You know, they're older than I am now. So you know, I don't know how that happens, but you know, they're not kids anymore. But nevertheless, my children have certain rights and privileges as a result of being my child. Someone who comes in off the street is not going to have the same privileges. My kids can come to my house at any time, go to the refrigerator, and help themselves. You know, if they need a place to stay, they can come to my house and they can hang out. If they're going through a difficult time, they can come to my house and they can get counsel that they'll probably ignore. But nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying? Because they're my children, they have certain rights and accesses and privileges associated with being my child. Come on, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? You are God's child. And you have certain rights and privileges associated with being his child. The Word of God tells us that we are adopted into the family of God. And adoption, especially in biblical times, has to do with something more than just being thought of as a stepchild or something like that. Adoption was total immersion in the family. When a person was adopted into a family, what I've read is that you had to denounce any previous connections with biological parents. And so when God uses the word that you're adopted in his family, what he's really saying is the past has been cut away and everything is new from here on in. The Bible teaches very clearly, if you read Galatians, that you are sons of God. And ladies, don't be upset, because in a previous verse in Galatians, it says that God does not distinguish between men and women. And so, you see, we're all sons in terms of position and privilege. Now, we need to be careful. You know, it's. I hate to use the word privilege, because sometimes some people will think, well, that means that whatever I want, I'll get, because my father's the king. My father's the king of the universe. I'm not talking about that kind of privilege. But we have the privilege of knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, just like that young man said, that I am not going to heaven. I mean, I'm not going to hell. And as that young girl said, but I am going to heaven. You know, that is an assurance that is so critical, so important in our lives, because when we come to grips and grasp that, then what will begin to happen is that we will see our lives differently. I just received a very great word from Pastor Bob this morning, who visited someone that I had a great concern over, because they were very, very ill, suffering tremendous amount of pain. And when I spoke to her, the greatest fear that she had was of dying, because she didn't know what would happen. Well, Pastor Bob tells me that you and Harriet went to visit her on Friday, was it? And she made a decision to receive Jesus into her life. And immediately she began to rejoice. She began to laugh. She was a different person. You see, that's what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We become a different person. We become a person who's assured. We have become a person who is confident. We become a person who's not dependent upon the promises of the world, but become dependent upon the promises of God through his word. And see, that changes us. You know, no longer, are you concerned about what other people think? Because what happens is that what concerns you, what's important to you, what does God think? All of a sudden, I'm not motivated, I'm not controlled by other people. You know, sometimes we allow ourselves to be controlled by the very people I hate to use this word, but despise. Because we're concerned about what they think. You know what I've learned over the years? They're not thinking about you. They don't care. You need to come to grips with the fact that you are not the center of the universe, but he is. And he calls you his own. He calls you son, daughter. You can listen. You can go into God's house and the refrigerator is open to you. You know, you need a place to hang. You can hang out in his house. You know, and so there are certain advantages and privileges with being a child of God. You are children of God. He loves you, and he loves you with a love that only a parent with a difficult child can understand. You know what I'm talking about? You know, if you some of you have had difficult children, and in spite of what they do, in spite of what they say, in spite of the way they act, you still love them. And your prayer is that they will turn around and come to their senses, come to themselves. That's the scriptural phrase that's used in the prodigal son, and come home. And that is the kind of love that God has for us. He loves you. See, that is the love of commitment. That is a love that is a covenant kind of love that cannot be broken on God's side. And our desire is to love him in the same way. But we become distracted. There's a beautiful scripture, and I won't get into the whole teaching of it, but in the book of Revelations, as you may recall, the Apostle John has a vision, a series of visions, and one of the visions that he has is about the seven churches. And the very first church is a church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And what he says about each church, he says, you know, to a great number of them, he says, you know, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, but I have this against you. You're neglecting this area, or you're allowing this to come into your life. And in Ephesians chapter, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, now this is a scripture, you've heard it before, so I'm not going to reveal anything new to you. It says this: nevertheless, this is God speaking, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. What's he talking about? You know, you can do a lot of things right, but the most important thing is the love relationship that God has with you and that you have with him. And see, when you love someone, you're willing to do anything for them. You know, remember the days when you were dating? You know, and your boyfriend or your girlfriend would ask you to do something you didn't want to do? What did you do? You did it anyway. I love my wife. She's not here today. She's dealing with a cold, and she didn't want to infect anyone. You know, she's not laying in bed sick, but she just felt that it wouldn't be wise to infect everyone here. So I said, that's a good idea, honey. You see, I'm immune to her little bugs. But I demonstrate my love for my wife, for example, in I go shopping with her. What's that? Brave man, and I know how to endure a lot of pain. You see, I am sacrificing what I want. I'm giving up what I would rather do in order to show love for my wife. And she does a lot of things for me, don't get me wrong, but she's not here, so I can talk about her. And so the question is that in our relationship with God, have we left our first love? Have we allowed things to slide? I was listening to James Dobson this week and on WFGB, and he was talking about the fact that the greatest percentage of divorces take place in marriages around the age of 40 to, I think, 40 to 50 or somewhere along that area. And that the number of divorces that take place with men and women in that age group is very high. And he attributed to this. He said that when they first met, they were in love with each other. They got married. Then children came along. And all of the attention, all of the focus became focused upon them. And they did not take the time to develop the relationship and to maintain the relationship all those years until finally the kids, what? They're gone. And all of a sudden, the husband and wife look at each other and say, who are you? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You see, and that can happen to us in our relationship with God. You know, when we're first born again, we're on fire, we're excited, we can't stop talking about Jesus, we're telling everybody about Jesus. People are running from us, hiding from us, because they don't want to hear anymore. But then over time, we become distracted. And over that time, our love begins to fade, and we begin to take it for granted, our relationship with him. We begin to take what happened on Good Friday for granted. We begin to take what happened on Easter for granted. And our love begins to wane. But I tell you, this good news, you can turn back. You can turn around. You can, as the Bible says, we can repent. There's a beautiful story in, I believe it's in Luke, about you've heard the title of it, the two men that were on the road to Emmaus. And what happened is that after Resurrection Sunday, the big hubbub and all the excitement and everything in Jerusalem was over. But a lot of people remembered Good Friday. They remembered the death of Jesus, and they couldn't get it out of their heads. And they left dejected. They left demoralized. They left defeated. And the two were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they run into another traveler. We know the traveler is Jesus, but they don't recognize him as Jesus. And they begin to talk to Jesus, and they say, don't you realize what happened in Jerusalem? says, how could you have been in the area and not know what happened in Jerusalem? You know, and they're thinking, our leader was killed. Our leader was crucified. Our leader is dead. And then it says that they sat down to eat together, and then Jesus broke bread. And at the moment he broke bread, they recognized who Jesus, that it was Jesus, in fact, him. And they realized that he was alive, that he was resurrected, that he was not an ethereal spirit. He was flesh and blood. And you know what they did? The scripture says, instead of going to Emmaus, they turned around and they went back to Jerusalem. And I believe that those two men were also part of the 120 that were on that day of Pentecost, some 50 days later, were in that upper room. Why? Because they were at the right place at the right time. You see, it's never too late to turn back. Sometimes the devil will fool you into thinking that, well, I'm so far from God. I have done so many bad things. I've forgotten all about him. I've neglected my worship of him. And listen, those are all lies from the pit of hell. You know that son or daughter, you know, and I pray that you never have to experience this. But that son or daughter who goes far from you and rejects everything that you believe and lives a life of prodigal living, you know, living a wasted life. Listen, the moment they turn around, I'll tell you what happens in the heart of a father or the heart of a mother. The heart of the father, the mother, is not to reject them, but to embrace them, to welcome them home, to make them feel at home. And so there are times that we are distracted. What are some of the distractions that we face? You know, very quickly, let me just give you some examples of distractions that can distract us from physical love. For those that are in relationships right now, I mean, you need to think about these things. It's not, you know, you fall in love and then all of a sudden it's going to maintain itself. No, love requires your energy. Love requires action. You know, Pastor Tom was talking about baptism is the action that is connected to your faith. Works and faith together. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Not that works is the key, but works is a demonstration that it's not just words that you're saying. It's just not thoughts that you're thinking, but it's backed up by action. Faith is a verb. So even in our personal relationships, we have to work at this. And if we have to work at it in our personal relationships, in our human relationships, then we also have to work at it in our spiritual relationships. Brian and Brenda Bovey are going to be, and you'll see there's an announcement in the bulletin. You'll see it on the slides at the end of the service. But they've got a seminar, if you will, for couples, for married couples. And I haven't heard what they're going to teach, but I know that it's going to be about commitment. It's going to be about covenant. It's going to be about working at your marriage. And so what are some of the things that we can sometimes work at everything else but our marriage. You know, we need to be careful about overworking. You know, I know some people who just work. I believe that when they're sleeping, they're working. You know, they're thinking about work. You know, they're thinking about tasks and responsibilities and jobs and things to do list. Man, you just need to chill. You need to take it easy. And take the time to show, not just say, but to show the people around you that you love that you, in fact, really care about them. So work can be an enemy. Work can be a good thing, but work can also be an enemy. The pursuit of money. You know, in our world culture, you know, everything is based upon money. Money, money, money. We all need money. Come on, can we agree? Let's not, you know, sometimes I hear Christians say, well, we're Christians. We're supposed to be poor. I'm not sure I buy into that. But I also know that the love of money, hear it again, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to be careful. Those are one of the areas that can distract us from not only our natural love for one another, but our love from God. We need to take time to worship. We need to take time to be in His presence. Here's something you might not expect. There are some people, not necessarily in this room, who pursue recreation above everything else. That's why this room is not filled. Because you've got football games going on, you've got soccer games going on, you've got lacrosse, you've got field hockey, you've got every kind of recreation that now it goes on Sunday mornings. And I understand, you know, if your kids are involved in something, you know, as a parent, I get it. You know, you're gonna be with your kids. But that is also an area that can be a kill. Some people, they live for recreation. They live to be on the boat on the Hudson River. They live to be on the golf course. Nobody in this room, of course. I'm just talking about people, you know, outside. Fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety can suck love right out of your life. And yet the Word very clearly tells us that if we draw close to Him, if we trust Him, if we spend time with Him, that we are going to find that you're going to be able to be anxious for nothing. That's what the Bible says. Be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication, make your petitions known to God. And then the promise is that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind. The three D's, we'll just close with this. Disappointment, discouragement, depression. And that's usually the sequence that it goes in. You get disappointed. You get discouraged. You get depressed. You don't want to do anything. I'm too tired to worship God. I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too tired to get into the Word. I'm too tired to fellowship with believers. Just leave me alone. Let me curl up and just die. Can you imagine being married to someone like that? How difficult that must be? Now listen, I'm going to break another fallacy, you know, that depression, you know, Christians can't ever be depressed. That's a lie. Anybody can be depressed. But we have a reason to come out of it. We have supernatural power to break it off of our lives. We have the ability by the Holy Ghost to be able to say, no, I will not live that way. Amen. And so all of these things can draw us away from our first love. Amen? But not for us in this room. We have decided. Amen? Amen. Well, how's that song go? You know, we have decided to follow. Yeah. Come on, Karen, give us a chorus. Come on, let's. Come on, stand up, Karen. Come on, you can do this. We need someone to lead us here. Yeah, come on. You can do this. Without music, we're going to do this a cappella. Everybody together. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. It's a decision. You know, some people wait, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to work on me. No, it's a decision. You know, you got to get up. You got to stand on the Word of faith. As Tom said, you know, when Jesus says, you know, walk by faith, you've got to make the effort to get up. And if you feel far from God, it's not because God has moved away, but you have. But the moment you turn around And that's what repentance is about, the moment you turn around. Your Father in heaven is right there to embrace you, kiss you on your neck, put the robe on you, put the sandals on your feet, the ring of authority on your finger, and restore back to you. Those two men that were on their road to Emmaus turned around, went back to Jerusalem, and I believe they saw the most glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit since the beginning of the world. But they could have just walked on to Emmaus, continued on the path that they were on. But it's a time to turn around. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the ability to turn around. That we don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy. We recognize the lies of the enemy. And Lord God, that you are for us, you are not against us. Your word says, you promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we know that we have authority, we have power in your name. Lord, that your Holy Spirit lives in us and dwells in us and guides, can if we will allow him to guide our steps in every area of our lives. And Lord, we know that it's not necessarily a quick fix, but it is the road to recovery, Lord. Recovering the love that we have for you. And Lord, if we can love you the way that you desire, then loving our neighbors, loving those around us, becomes so much easier because you enable us and strengthen us to do that. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless every person in this room. Lord, just when they leave this morning, especially those that were baptized, and Lord, but when they leave this morning, they will realize that what we need to listen to is what you say about us. And what you say about us is that we are yours. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to please come forward. We're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. We need to do that this morning. Also, while they're coming up to do that, Al Kulik has directions for Tuscarora, the men's getaway. So if you're a part of that and you want directions, there he is. That bearded gentleman over there has the papers in his hands. Amen. And I think, Carl, did we make arrangements for, are we going to have a group leaving from here? At what time? Okay, all the information is in the bulletin. Glory to God. Amen. Come on, you ready to give? This is part of our faith, believing. And God's going to cause the increase. Amen. How many people need an increase? Come on, just raise your hand. You say, I need an increase. Amen. Lord Jesus, I need a raise. Amen. Just putting that out now. Just work on my boss, you know, or bring in the customers, or you know. Listen, God's able to do things like that, you know. Jesus, you know. Now we don't live for him because of that. That is just a benefit of being a son or a daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. So Lord God, we thank you for the ability to give. Lord, we thank you for the seed that is in our hands. Lord, your word says that you give us seed to eat and seed to sow. And Lord, we are sowing this seed and believing that it's going to produce an increase for the kingdom of God, but also an increase back to every giver here. Lord, we thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offerings. We ask you to bless every person here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's receive. Amen. Everyone stand, please, as soon as we receive the offering. Amen. We have guests, we have family members here, especially for those that came to be baptized. And so please, let's just take a few moments to just greet one another and let each person here know that not only does God love them, but we love them as well as a church. Amen. So Lord God, we thank you for this service this morning. Ask you to bless every individual here. Bless every family that is represented here. And Lord, I know there are families that are not here. We ask you to bless them as well. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in the one name which is above every other name. And we all know that name is what? Jesus. God bless you. Amen.